Today, Kenneth Copeland explains how spiritual laws and natural laws function together and how they both are present in this physical earth. Discover which one has more authority next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And we believe that we receive insight and concept and revelation from heaven in faith, how it works. And we give You praise and thanksgiving for it, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to download the study notes, kcm.org/notes. And you can be right here with us in every scripture and so forth as we study this. We're talking about the spiritual force of faith. Faith is not just an idea. You know, you have people say, well, what faith are you? Well, you know, I'm Baptist, Methodist, you know. That's not what we're talking about at all. And in fact, that's just a religious idea and use of the word faith. But that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about the spiritual force with which God created the heavens and the earth. It is a force born out of the reborn human spirit. It doesn't come out of your mind. It doesn't come out of your will. It doesn't come out of your emotions. It has nothing to do with your natural understanding as far as its source or what it is or when it is or how it is. No, no. This is a spiritual force. You are a spirit being like God. And because you're a spirit being like God, you have the capabilities of doing spiritual things that have to do with spiritual laws. They're the spiritual laws of God created all physical matter. So the spiritual laws were before the laws of physics, physical laws. And, you know, you talk about certain physical laws. Of course, when you speak of that, most of the time, first thing comes to mind is the law of gravity. It can be depended on. It works all the time. And it works for whomever. It is a law that was put in motion, and it's still functioning. And it will continue to function until God turns it off. Amen. But you have to remember this. It was the laws of the Spirit that God used to create all of the laws of physics. Amen. Now, there are a lot of laws in the area of physics and so forth that people knew horribly little about. And if you look at what we know about human history and just look at it, and the way people lived and the way people thought had almost no change at all. You go back 200 years, 300 years, 500 years. Well, let's say you just go back 1,000 years. Go back 1,000 years and progress to now. And the way people conducted themselves 1,000 years ago and 500 years ago and so forth, until they began to discover the laws of physics and how to use them, they were all just about the same. They either walked or rode an animal of some kind, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and 500s and 600s and 700s and so forth, until somebody tapped into the laws of physics and began to use them and began to change our lives to where in the last 150 years, dear Lord, we went to the moon and back. What happened? We tapped into those laws. They were there all the time. They were there all the time. An airplane of any kind, a 747, would have flown just as good in 1816, 1817, 1820, as it does in 2016 and 2017. Amen. It would have done. There wasn't any difference in the physical environment. There wasn't nothing that would have caused the airplane not to fly. Nobody knew how. Why? They did not understand the laws that governed it. Now, take that and move it right over here on the spiritual laws. Praise God. In Romans chapter 3, and you look at the 27th verse. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Amen. Then you go over to the 8th chapter of Romans. Verse 2, for the law, the what? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. These are spiritual laws. Amen. And when you tap into those spiritual laws, they work. When you think, well, now, here's the way I think it ought to work. Well, there were people there not all that long ago who said, well, here's what I think. I think if God intended for man to fly, to put wings on him, that's what I think. And then ain't nobody ever going to fly. Are you kidding me? Men weren't supposed to. I can tell you that God never intended for a man to fly. But they were wrong. They did not understand there were certain laws that governed it. And when you take advantage of those certain physical laws, they'll work. You do not have to be born again to be able to fly an airplane, but you do have to understand the law of lift, and you have to tap into it and begin to work with it, not against it. And it works. Now then, let's talk about some faith law. Jesus answering, Mark 11, 22, saith unto them, have the faith, well, King James says, have faith in God. Have the faith of God, the cross reference says. Now, this is the faith of God. He just demonstrated it by speaking to a tree, and from the time he spoke to it, 24 hours later, somewhere in that 24-hour period of time, that tree dried up from the roots. And just exactly what he said came to pass. So he demonstrated the law of faith. Now, verily I say unto you, whosoever, I could rest my case right there, whosoever, and he didn't say, now verily I say unto you, this will work for you because you're an apostle, see? No. Whosoever. Whosoever will put this law to work, it will work. You can't put into motion certain ideas, but you can't put this church's idea and that church's idea and that church's idea. Well, we think it ought to work this way. We think it ought to be this way. Well, you know, I heard Sir and so-and-so say that their brother said, and their brother had a good idea that he got from his cousin. No, it's what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, starts with saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, believe it where? Believe it in your heart, in the inner man, not the outer man, the inner man, what the Apostle Peter called the hidden man of the heart. You remember the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, though the outward man is dying or decaying, the inward man is renewed day by day. So, and then talk about if this outward tabernacle be dissolved, the inward, to be absent from the body. Let's put it this way, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the outer man is for the inner man, what the Scripture calls the heart of man, is present with the Lord. The inner man is you. The outer man is your body. Now, that concept has to become real, and it has to become so ingrained into your thinking that you don't mix the two of them up. Now, but believe in his heart or in the inner man that those things which he saith shall come to pass. What does he say? Those words. That words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I want to take notice of this. We'll spend some more time on this later, but I do want to inject this into it for right now. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. Faith, the spiritual force of faith, will not work in an unforgiving spirit. Or how can I put this, Lord? Help me. If you have a way about you that is unforgiving, or if you get aught against somebody, that's sin. Yep. It's violation of the commandment of love. So that is sin. Now, what happens in a sin environment? Your spirit turns inward, doing everything it can. It starts working on your conscience. It starts trying to get your attention, trying to get hold of your mind. Get this out of here. Get this out of here. Our faith isn't working. Without faith, we're in big trouble here. Get this out. Get this out of here. Without love, there is no faith. And without faith, nothing works. Nothing's working. Nothing's working. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And it keeps pounding on you, pounding on you. All your confession is not working about your healing. It's not working about your family. It's not working about your finances. It's cut all that off, and it's doing everything it can to get you to forgive and shut that up, or cut whatever the other sin was, whatever it was. Stop that. Stop it now. The big thing is living and walking in the commandment of love. 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You stop the power of all nine of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm just a lot of noise. Now listen, even though I have faith to remove mountains, he was referring to what Jesus said right here. Even though I have faith to remove mountains and have not love, what about your tithing? What about your sowing? What about your finances? Let's look over there at it. Turn over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because this is just huge. You really, without the love of God, you don't have any faith. And without any faith, nothing works. Amen. God is love. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, I told you, Norm, that we started this out. We're talking about spiritual laws that govern manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. Amen. In the 12th chapter, he talks about these great manifestations of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and glory to God, and gifts of healings, and working of miracles, and special faith, and discerning of spirits, and different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and gifts of prophecy, and so forth. But right here in the 13th chapter, it doesn't work. Well, why? Let me read it to you in that'll open your mind. God is, say it, God is love. He doesn't have love, he is love. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not God, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not God, I'm nothing. Oh, Brother Cole, he didn't say that. He said love. Well, if you said love, you said God. If you said God, you said love. You've cut God off through unforgiveness. So what happens to your faith? It turns inward. It's working. It's doing everything it can to get you to forgive, get you out of whatever that, some other kind of sin. But the sin of unforgiveness is right up on top of the list. And Jesus brought it up right here. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. Why, Jesus? Because the faith of God will not work in an unforgiving heart. It just won't. Well, you just have to think that through. Now, just how willing are you to hang on to that unforgiveness and hate for somebody for what they did? Well, you just don't understand what they did to me. Well, let me tell you something. They're still doing it to you. They may have completely forgotten it and is over with them 4 or 5 years ago. And here you still hanging on to it and your faith hadn't worked. Your faith hadn't done doodly flip for however long you've been hanging on to that. Sweetheart, that is very, very expensive. It is so expensive to the life of a believer. I'm telling you, you're standing over your child's bed and praying. You finally get to the place where you say, I don't understand it. Nothing I do works anymore. Well, now you got your words working against you. And the devil's just sitting by me, sitting over there smiling. Yeah, uh-huh. And then he'll feed you some lie like, well, it just wasn't God's will for you to get healed. Well, it just wasn't God's will, I guess, for me to get healed. You'll believe anything he feeds you. You believe in your flesh. Why? Because you won't forgive. And it doesn't have to be somebody that kills your dog. It just get mad at the politicians. You got an air of unforgiveness about you. You just judge people all the time. I'm telling you, it's a very, very, very dangerous way to live. Now, I want to get on into the inner workings of this, and we'll do that tomorrow, but we just have to stop right here. Just take it right now and say, well, I don't know whether I can or not. You can. If Jesus told you to do something you can't do, then He's unjust. You do it by faith. Amen. Not how you feel. You do it by obedience. Yes, sir. And by faith, I forgive if I have aught against any. Thank you, sir. Far as I'm concerned, they're forgiven. And I stay in this atmosphere of repentance until I'm completely cleansed of all this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.